Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of Fort Laramie with Raymond Burr. Tonight's episode is kind of special in that it is written by Gil Dowd. And Gil Dowd was considered by many to be one of the best writers in all of radio. He was a fantastically prolific writer, wrote a lot of different shows for radio, wrote a lot of things for television. And he did this in a short amount of time because, unfortunately, he passed away at the age of 43. And about a year and a half after this episode aired is when he would pass away in 1957. So I'm glad we have this episode, and I'm glad he wrote this episode. We also have on here actor Dick Beals. And Dick Beals is a child actor. He's not a child. He was never a child as an actor. He was always an adult. Anytime you've heard him, his first acting that we know of was when he was in his 20s, but he was always playing a child, usually anywhere from 3 years old to 8 years old or so, and would do a fabulous job of it. He could play boys, he could play girls. He just had this incredible voice. And whenever I hear his voice on a radio show like this one, I was fast forwarding to see what some of the show was covering. And I heard his voice, and it just it brings a smile to my face every time I hear him. He passed away just a few years ago, not too long ago, and I wish I would have had a chance to talk to him, but I never did. So this is a chance to experience a little bit of him, just a wonderfully prolific career throughout old-time radio and throughout cartoons. You've definitely probably heard his voice many times before. But enjoy Raymond Burr, Dick Beals, and this script by Gil Dowd. We'll see you next time.
At the gallop!
Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Patrol, halt! Sergeant Gorse.
Yes, sir.
Dismiss the patrol. I've got to report to Major Daggett.
Yes, sir.
And see that their horses are babied right this time.
Yes, sir. Patrol, prepare to dismount. Dismount.
Captain Quince reporting, sir. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I thought you'd be alone.
That's all right, Captain. This is Major Barlow.
Major?
My pleasure, Captain.
Well, how did your patrol fare?
Routine, sir. No sign of trouble.
Good. Oh, sit down, Quince.
Thank you, sir.
Major Barlow is here on orders from General Staff in Washington. He's surveying all the posts in our department.
I have only a few days here, and then I'm going on to Fort Dodge.
General Custer's command?
Yes. I'm looking forward to that. Read hundreds of reports, and certainly that 7th Cavalry is doing the best job with the hostiles that can be done.
You haven't surveyed them yet?
Well, not personally, no. The record reads victory after victory. I wish we could say the same about the 2nd.
Well, the circumstances are a little different, Major. They're waging open warfare from Fort Dodge. Here, we try to keep hostilities at a minimum, maintain peace. Captain, how much firefight have we seen in the last month?
Well, 3 or 4 skirmishes is all, sir. Mostly with dog soldiers driven from the Fort Dodge section.
Dog soldiers?
There are 2 kinds of Cheyenne. That's the tribe we've been most interested in around here lately. Dog soldiers are the warriors. They wear 3 feathers.
Oh.
The ones that don't wear the feathers are the reservation peaceful kind. We don't bother either unless they make us.
Yeah. Well, Major, it's the belief of many members of the staff, including myself, that a soft policy such as yours is bound to lead to an uprising.
I hope you're wrong, sir.
Well, the hostiles see it as a sign of weakness. The only way to enforce peace with these savages is to maintain constant pressure, continual display of strength.
Will we get a directive to that effect, Major? Or is that a private opinion?
It's my opinion at the moment. I can assure you I'll do everything I can to see a directive based on it. Now, Captain, if you'll show me to your troop area.
Yes, sir.
Major Barlow will be attached to your troop during his stay. You'll place yourself at his disposal, do everything possible to assist him in making his survey.
It's an honor, sir.
First thing I want to do, Captain, is make a complete tour of the reservation camps. I want a first-hand look at the natives. Their condition, their attitudes, extent of their weapons, so on.
Camps are pretty well scattered, Major. It'll take some time to cover all of them.
These reservation people should be centralized so that they can be watched.
They've lived in small village bands for hundreds of generations. They kind of need stretching
room.
They're
prisoners of war, Captain. Prisoners of war live under imposed conditions, not their own.
Yes, sir.
Captain Quince?
Yes, Sergeant? At ease. What is it?
There's a man waiting for you in the orderly room, sir. Ben Coons.
What does he want?
He says his stepson was stole by the Cheyenne.
What's that?
We'll go in and find out. Thank you, Sergeant. I've just heard about your son, Coons. How'd it happen?
How do I know? My place is only 5 miles outside of town, and he was gone when I got home last night. Look at this.
Cheyenne scalping knife.
It was stuck in my door. I've had a Cheyenne lodge oath hanging over my head for a year. That filthy devil finally found a way to get to me.
You mean someone in particular?
One of the worst of the breed. Wasaya.
I've heard of him. Quite a warrior.
You say he's had a personal hatred for you, Mr. Coons?
Ever since last summer. I was scouting for the 7th. I run across his camp on that big north swing of the Solomon. You know, Captain, just before it flows into Grand Valley.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I led the troopers into it, and during the fracas, Wasaya's brother was killed. That's when he took the oath to put me under. Or do worse. Now he's done it. Taken Billy.
I'm sorry about your son, Coons. But the way I heard the story of that attack, Wasaya's wife and 8-year-old son were killed, too, by one of our scouts.
I didn't have nothing to do with it. I did what I was paid to.
Captain, the man's child's been kidnapped. I see no reason to discuss anything else.
The army's supposed to protect the civilians.
What makes you so sure it was Wasaya?
Well, he brought his band into the Laramie foothills 2 days ago. Put that and the knife and his oath together, and there's no place else to look.
Where'd you hear he was in this part of the country?
Your breed scout, Quanto, got wind of it.
I should think you would have learned about it in your patrol, Captain.
No, we were working in the other direction, Major.
Oh.
I heard this morning. Right away, I got the feeling about what happened, and I started looking for sign around my place. I found it right enough. A wash about a 1/2 mile away. Tracks of 9 ponies headed south toward the hills. I want that Cheyenne dog brought in and hung up where I can see it.
Sergeant Gorse?
Yo.
Go look up Quanto. He says there's a band of Cheyenne in the Laramie foothills. I want to talk to their head man. Find out where they are, pick out 10 good men for the patrol, including you.
Yes, sir.
You'll make provision for me to go with you, Captain.
There won't be much in the way of provision, Major, but you're welcome, sir. Coons, you go tell your story to Major Daggett. As soon as I get word from him, we'll move out.
All right, Captain.
Oh, Coons. How old is your stepson?
9 years next month, if he's still alive.
Same age Wasiah's son would have been. Well, if they're together, I don't think you have to worry about Billy being anything but alive and well.
You got a lot to learn about Cheyenne, Captain.
Maybe you could teach me. You want to come along?
I'll go talk to the Major.
There goes a man with a bad conscience.
What about your own, Captain? You seem to feel more sympathy for the savage than you do for this poor man who's lost a child. I hardly think your attitude right for a man in your position.
I suppose it won't look good in your survey report, sir, but there's a popular idea out here I've never been able to swallow and keep down. That whatever a white man does to an Indian is all right, but whatever an Indian does is all wrong.
You and I are soldiers, Captain. We do not set policy. We follow it.
Yes, sir.
Fast water Quanto talked about is just around this bend, Captain.
Yeah, I know. I caught some beautiful trout in that stretch.
That's where their camp's supposed to be.
Hadn't you better order carbines at the ready? A show of preparedness, Captain?
A little late for that, Major. They've had their eye on us for at least an hour.
Why do you bring a small force into a situation like this? Surely you don't trust them not to catch us in ambush.
I don't trust them, Major. I know them. The best place for ambush was about 2 miles back. We've gone beyond the point of carbines at the ready. There you are, Major, up ahead, waiting for us. Those are dog soldiers. Some of the best mounted fighters in the world.
We are well outnumbered, Captain.
We always are. Now, they'll come in to meet us at full run and screaming like banshees. That's their way. They don't want you to know whether they mean to be friendly or to open your throat. If we had our carbines ready, their run wouldn't be exactly friendly. Patrol! Halt! Keep your hands away from your weapons, men, unless I tell you different. Stay relaxed the way you do on the parade ground when I want you to be alert.
You should have ordered out your full troop, Captain.
Captain, here they come.
I see him, Gorse. Act like this happens every day, men. Just rest easy in your saddles and talk to each other.
Captain, order carbines at the ready.
That an order, Major?
It's common sense. Show them we'll fight.
Don't draw your pistol, Major. You'll spook them for sure, waving that thing around. They'd have opened up by now if they were going to. Bye. Who is chief among you? Which of you is Wasiah?
I am Wasiah. Why do the soldiers come to us? We have done no wrong.
I brought you your scalping knife, Wasiah. Here.
Where is the one called Coons? The woman killer? The child killer? Did he die of fear when he found my sign?
Why, that insolent beggar.
He says that you came for vengeance. And that you stole his son.
I have stolen no son.
You were at his house, and now the boy is missing.
I have stolen no boy.
Oh, he's lying, Captain.
What does the high soldier say?
I say you are lying.
Major.
I speak true.
We'll search your camp and find out how much truth.
No, we want no soldiers in our camp.
Ain't there any way you can stop him, Captain?
You ever been able to stop me, Gores?
Well, I'd sure try if
always
you went off half-cocked like he is.
When the soldiers come to our camp, there is trouble. We want no trouble. We are at peace.
You don't want us in your camp because you're lying. The search is going to be made. And if you resist us, I'll see the whole 2nd Cavalry out to do the job.
Bandu Nikano!
Patrol! Carbines at the ready!
Boots your carbines!
What was that, Captain?
Sorry, Major. They're going back to their camp.
Oh. Those insolent. Well, at least I've seen a prime example of what a soft policy brings about. The hostiles move up here from the 7th Cavalry area. Undoubtedly, they rest, repair equipment, and go back to take up the attack again.
Some of them do, some of them don't. There are good ones and bad ones with these people, same as there are with whites.
Well, until such time as a magician is attached to the 2nd who can distinguish between the two, Captain, pressure should be exerted against all of them. We'll return to the fort. I'm going to recommend that at least 2 troops are assigned to this matter until that boy's recovered.
With your permission, sir, I'll stay here. Sergeant Gorse will take command of the patrol and escort you.
Why on earth stay here? I need your statement at the fort.
You have plenty of other witnesses, sir. Before you come back with 2 troops of cavalry, I'd sort of like to see what one man can do in that camp.
You're thinking as an individual again, Captain.
A hard habit to break, sir. If it doesn't work, it'll make a strong point in your survey report.
Very well. I trust you don't expect commendation on your stubbornness. I do plan to make reference to your unmilitary behavior.
It'd be better if we could send old Brass Shoulders in alone.
Watch your manners, Sergeant.
Don't you want me to stay with you?
Thank you, Gorse, but I don't need you. This may look crazy, but I don't think I'll run into any trouble.
If that young'un's in there, you will, sir.
Yeah, I don't figure he is. I've been thinking. If I was Wasaya and had kidnapped the boy, I sure wouldn't have left a knife to point the finger at me. And I would have hightailed it out of these parts a long time before this.
I sure hope you're right, Captain.
Sergeant, I'm ready to go.
Not far enough.
Watch your manners, Gorse.
Yes, sir. Good luck.
Easy.
Help, soldier! You do not come in our camp.
Then come out here, Wasaya, so we can talk without being bothered by others.
Do we talk about the son I did not steal?
I believe you. I believe that you didn't steal him.
Your high soldier is blind. His words cut like flint.
He's new to this country. He has much to learn.
He went back. Does he bring more soldiers to attack us?
That's what's in his mind now. It'll take a day, so you have time to move your camp.
Strange words from a soldier. Why do you stand with me when the high soldier says I lie?
I've heard much of you, Wasaya. If you were going to steal a son, you'd do it better than this.
I say this. The days are gone when a son brought only gladness to his father. Now the father looks to the day when his son reaches manhood and sees nothing but sadness and hunger and fighting a war that will not be won. Some nights, when sleep runs away from me, I think of my son. And I am happy that he is not with me to share the trouble that follows us. I would steal no son. I have nothing to give him.
Do you truly want peace, Wasaya?
A peace with honor, yes.
We are tired of fighting and running.
This is a small thing, a missing child, when you measure it against the bigness of the trouble that we're all in, all the tribes, all the army units. But it's a thing that could stir everything up again. Word from the major could go to Washington.
His words from his mind.
They'd be believed, because no other words could go to say they were wrong. I'd like to stop it, Wasaya. Would you help me?
How would a Cheyenne help a soldier?
If you and I could find the boy and take him back, everyone would know that you were a man of honor and truth, and that you lead a peaceful band.
Then the high soldier's word would be lies.
You'd be right, and he'd be wrong.
For that, I would help. But how?
Have any other new bands moved into this section that could have taken the boy?
One Shoshone and one from my tribe.
Could you find out if they have him?
Yeah.
Will you do it?
I will.
While you do that, I'll try and get a line on him. Will you meet me in the wash near Coon's place at sunrise tomorrow?
Do you know what you asked me to do? To help the man who killed my son and my wife?
I know, Wasaya.
We meet at sunrise, soldier.
Hold.
I am here, soldier.
You hide well. What did you learn?
The boy is not with the Shoshones and not with the Cheyenne.
Then we have another way to go. He has an uncle in the Rock River settlement. He's talked to some of his young friends about going to live with him. He told them the trail he'd take. If I put you on it, could you pick up his sign and follow it?
I have followed older sign.
We'll go then.
He fell here.
All right. Look there, piece of cloth. I'd say he has torn clothing and a sore knee.
He rested here. Slept, I think. See, the grass is pressed down.
He's traveled a long way for an 8-year-old.
I think not much farther than this. He started very slow from here. There, soldier.
Billy? Billy? We're going to take you home.
No, I won't go back.
It's all right, Billy.
Who is he?
His name is Wasaya. He's a friend of mine.
You are a good, strong boy to come this far. If I had a son, I would hope he would be so strong.
You've got a nasty bruise on your face, Billy. You must have taken a bad fall.
He hit me.
Who did?
My paw. With a stick. He hit me till I ran away.
Yeah. Let's see under your shirt. Yeah, he sure did hit you, didn't he?
I won't go back. My paw hit me again.
Come on, come on. Stand up, Billy. Look, I don't blame you for running away. I guess I'd have done the same thing.
I won't go back.
If you want to live with your uncle, I think we can work it out.
In Rock River?
Yeah. And instead of trying to get there all by yourself, how would you like it if you could ride with the cavalry?
By myself? On a horse?
Yes. Horse all your own. Now. Now, you ready to start back?
I won't stay with my paw.
You won't have to.
Come here, boy. You ride with me on my pony.
No, I don't want to.
I sure you do, Billy. Think what you can tell your friends. I'll bet none of them have ridden with a real Cheyenne warrior. Come on now. Show them how brave you are.
Come here, boy. Am I strong enough to lift you up? Oh. He not know the feel of a white man on his back.
You all right, Billy?
Does this pony run fast?
Oh, yes. Faster than prairie fire. Hang on! Wait, soldier.
They're forming the two troops for the big search.
I go no farther.
I know how you feel, because I felt the same way riding into your camp. But the major from Washington won't believe you had a part of this unless you ride in with me. You have my word that everything will be all right.
I go on your word.
Right up to the major, Wasaya. Captain Quince reporting, sir.
Well, this savage did steal the boy. In spite of his surrender, he's to be punished.
This is no surrender.
Give me the details, Captain.
I'd rather you ask the boy, sir.
All right, son. What did he do to you?
He didn't steal me. He found me. I ran away because my paw hit me with a stick. He does it lots of times, and I won't go back. I just won't.
Order the troops dismissed.
Yes, sir.
Prepare to dismount. Prepare to dismount.
Come on, Billy.
Dismount.
We'll find you something to eat. I'd stay out of the 7th Cavalry territory for a while. The high soldier is going to be moving that way.
There is very far place where there are many antelope. I think my people are hungry for antelope.
My thanks go with you.
Mine stay with you. You grow strong, boy. One day you can beat your stepfather. I leave my vengeance with you. Hang on!
Goodbye!
Come on, Billy.
Captain?
Yeah, Gorse?
Old Ironside sure don't want to admit there's such a thing as a good Injun, does he?
He's a better soldier than we are, Sergeant.
What?
He operates strictly from the book. Maybe in the next situation, the book will be right.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Gil Dowd, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Clayton Post, Ralph Moody, Jack Moyles, and Richard Beals.
Company, attention! Dismiss.
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Each Monday through Friday evening, CBS Radio rings you in on the fabulous adventures of insurance investigator Johnny Dollar. Just by decoding the cryptic items in his expense account, you'll learn how a dime spent in a phone booth can lead to a scene of the wildest suspense. Then on to a sum spent for an airplane ticket or an item for a new shoelace. And again, you'll find yourself smack in the middle of a thrill-packed situation. Each new adventure moves the story forward to its dramatic payoff when Johnny Dollar solves yet another case of arson, fraud, or murder. Every Monday through Friday night, over most of these same stations, hear yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Gunsmoke, brought to you by L&M Filters. Make today your big red letter day. Change to L&M. So good to your taste. So quick on the draw. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
I swear this is the lonesomest looking ranch in the whole state of Kansas, Mr. Dillon.
That's no place for a man who likes company, Chester.
3 days' ride from Dodge, 150 miles. It'd get me talking to myself.
Now, that's driven old Tub Claver a little crazy.
Not so crazy he ain't finally selling out.
Yeah, let's leave him here, huh?
I ain't laid eyes on old Tup in over a year.
Yeah, he hasn't changed any. And that's what worries me.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm not sure the old man's competent when it comes to business like selling a ranch. Oh, there he is.
Hey, Top! Hello!
Hello!
Look at his hair. He must use it for a napkin.
That's bear grease, Chester.
Yeah. Looks like he ain't washed it since he was a boy.
Oh, Top, how are you, huh?
Fit to fight day or night.
Hello, Top.
Well, I see you're looking sloppy as ever, Chester.
I'm looking sloppy. Well, Top, doggone your old hide.
Never mind,
well,
Chester.
Well,
no, that's how I remember him.
Top, we've been up on the Republican River. We heard that you're selling your ranch.
Yeah, want to buy it?
No. We just thought we'd stop by and see how you're doing.
I'm doing right good, Marshal.
Well, why are you selling, Tom?
I'm tired of being alone. Need help out here. Getting old.
Yeah. How much are you asking for the place?
$10,000. And it ain't worth a dollar more. You want it?
No, I don't want it. But have you found anybody who's interested?
That's why I'm riding to Dodge next week. I'll find somebody.
Well, I wish you'd come see me when you get there.
Yeah, maybe I will when I get there. You can buy me a drink, Marshal.
I'll be glad to, Tup. Well, so long.
Bye, Tup.
Goodbye. If the ocean was whiskey and I was a duck, I'd dive to the bottom and drink it all up.
Goodness, Mr. Dillon, ain't that awful?
He's a fine old man, Chester, for all his loose-minded ways.
He's half simple. He ain't got a lick of sense. The first fella who comes along is gonna rob him blind.
No, he isn't, Chester. Not if I can help it.
Make today your big red letter day, your L&M red letter day. Superior taste and filter, it's the miracle tip. Make today your big red letter day, change to L&M today.
L&M, so good to your taste.
So quick on the draw.
Get L&M today.
What's the first thing you notice when you light up an L&M? It's that L&M is so good to your taste, of course. You'll like that rich taste of superior tobaccos. Then you'll notice that you enjoyed that taste with no effort on your part whatsoever. And that's because L&M is so quick on the draw. With L&M, flavor comes rich, comes clean, comes easy through the pure white L&M miracle tip. So,
make today your big red letter day. Change to L&M today.
L&M, so good to your taste.
So quick on the draw.
Get L&M today.
Yes, make today your big red letter day and change to L&M.
Sit down, my boy.
No thanks, Doc. I had enough sitting last week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, say, that was a long ride you made.
Well, we didn't accomplish much, but we saw an awful lot of country.
You know, that's what I like about your job. You get paid whether you accomplish anything or not.
You know, you're complaining because you can't collect money off of dead men, Doc.
Oh, that's so. Now, you talk easy, Matt Dillon. You're forgetting how you might get sick.
I'm too healthy to worry about having to stay on the good side of you, you miserable old...
All right, now you've done it. Yes. Now you're going to have to buy me a drink.
My pleasure, Doc. Let's go to the Long Branch.
I knew if I waited long enough, some conscience-stricken heathen would come along and ask me into a bar.
I don't mind, Doc. It's some poor devil you might have to operate on this afternoon that I'm worried about. After you.
Thank you. Well, now, shall we stand at the bar?
Wait a minute, Doc.
What?
That's Tup Claver sitting over there.
Oh, yes. I saw him on the street a while ago.
Who's that with him?
I don't know, Matt.
Look, Doc, order me a drink, will you? I'll be with you in just a minute.
All right. Well, you're right out and take a look at it.
All right. Well.
Hello, Top.
Oh, sit down, Marshal. Sit down.
I thought you were going to look me up when you got to Dodge.
Oh, Marshal,
This here's Mr. Wayne Rutman.
How do you do, Marshal?
Mr. Rutman?
He's aiming to buy my ranch.
Oh, is that so?
Well, he's from Kansas City. He wants to see the ranch before we make a deal, though, Marshal.
Well, I can understand that.
You want to see the money, don't you?
Well, it's your ID.
Well, of course. And you will see it. 2 weeks from now, I'll have it deposited in the bank here.
Well, it'll only take a week to ride up and see the ranch and come back.
No, I want to send for the money first.
Why? I ain't going to sell without it get paid anyway.
Evidence of good faith, Tup. I want you to know I have the money and that I'm ready to buy before I look the ranch over.
Yeah, don't make sense to me.
Marshal, do you see anything wrong in doing it my way?
I don't see it makes any difference.
There you are, Tup. I'll be going now, and 2 weeks from today, I'll meet you at the bank. Agreed?
Sure, I'll be there.
Good. Bye, Marshal.
Bye, Mr. Rutman.
Ho, dead dough, you never know. My.
What?
Never mind, Marshal. Nice feller, huh?
Yeah. Well, where did you run into him?
At the hotel this morning. I told everybody I was selling my ranch, and his eyes lit up, and he bought me a drink. Oh, I got to come to town more often. When do the ladies get here, Marshal?
You never mind the ladies.
But I'm going to be rich. $15,000 worth.
What?
Yep, $15,000, Marshal.
But you were only asking 10.
Well, I told him that. But he said that he's as rich as can be and wants to do right by an old man like me. Now, ain't he a nice fella, Marshal?
Yeah, maybe. But I'll be there to find out for sure.
Come in.
Hello, Mr. Bodkin.
Well, come in, Marshal. What can the bank do for you today?
It's been 2 weeks, Mr. Bodkin. I told you I wanted to be here when Rutman and Tup Claver showed up.
Of course. But Wayne Rutman's already been here, Marshal.
Oh, he has?
Mm-hmm. Deposited $15,000 cash, just like that.
It's an awful lot of money.
Yeah, I wish there were more businessmen like him around.
Well, morning, gentlemen.
Here's Tup.
Oh, it's you, Marshal.
Hello, Tup.
Well, where's Rutman?
He said he'd meet you at the stable about noon, Tup. He'll be ready to ride up to the ranch with you, and the money's here, $15,000. It's been deposited.
I'll take your word for it, Bodkin.
If Rutman decides to buy, he'll give you a note for the money. All you'll have to do is come here and collect it.
Well, sounds easy.
Nothing to it.
My.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with the deal, do you, Mr. Bodkin?
Certainly not. You're a lucky man, Tup. If he decides to buy, of
course. Oh, he'll buy. Place looks fine. I just got back this morning.
So that's where you've been.
Riding and dreaming, Marshal. Dreaming of money.
Well, good luck, Tup.
There ain't no such thing, Marshal. Luck's for fools and sinners. You'll see. Oh, yes, you'll see. If the ocean was whiskey and I was a dog, I'd like to
Hello, Kitty.
Matt.
What's the matter? Did I scare you?
I guess we were concentrating pretty hard on those dresses in the window. Matt, this is Mary Emmett.
How do you do, Mary?
Hello, Marshal.
Mary's an old friend of mine. She's just passing through on her way to Denver.
Why don't you stay in Dodge a while, Mary? They got enough pretty girls in Denver.
Kitty's told me about you, Marshal. I don't believe a word you say.
Well, then I guess you really are old friends.
It's been 15 years, hasn't it, Mary?
Ever since New Orleans.
We were awful young men, weren't we?
Well, you grew up pretty fast in that town.
We sure did. Where's Chester, Matt? I'd like him to meet Mary, too.
He went in the bank, Kitty. He claimed he had to change some money.
Well, I wish I had some money. I'd change it right in this store. Look at that purple dress, Matt.
Kitty, you got 100 dresses.
Well, then I've lost 95 of them. The others are in rags.
Well, the one you're wearing looks nice.
This thing wouldn't look good on a gal from the deep piney woods.
Kitty, you haven't changed a bit. As long as I've known, you've complained about your wardrobe.
Well, I'll stop one day, Mary, when I get $1,000,000.
Mr. Dillon!
That's Chester, Matt.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, maybe I can join you two later and have a drink with you.
Hope you will, Marshal.
Okay, we'll do that.
Bye.
Dillon, they're having an awful row in the bank there.
Oh, who is?
Mr. Botkin and that fellow Rutman.
Is Rutman back?
Got back this morning, he says, and he wants his money. He's decided not to buy Tupp's ranch.
Oh, what's the trouble?
Well, Mr. Botkin says that... Well, you better ask him. There they are at the teller's window.
You keep quiet a minute, Rutman. Marshal Dillon, you settle this.
What's the trouble, Mr. Botkin?
He won't give me my money, that's the trouble.
You haven't got any money here.
$15,000 is all.
Here's your note, Rutman. You signed it.
My note?
Can I see it a minute, Mr. Botkin? Give whatever money I have in bank to Tupp Cleaver. Signed, Wayne Rutman.
It's impossible.
Well, isn't this your writing, Rutman? Of
course it's his, Marshal. Tupp brought it in 2 days ago.
2 days ago?
Now, that's a lie. 3 days ago, I left him at his ranch 150 miles from here. Nobody could ride that in one day.
Well, somebody's sure lying. He was here, and I gave him the money.
Then it's up to the Marshal to get it back. Right now. I'll be waiting at the Dodge House, Marshal.
Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, what, Justin?
I got an idea where old Tupp might be at.
Well, let's go find him.
Make today your big red letter day, your L&M red letter day. Superior taste and filter, it's the miracle tip. Make today your big red letter day, change to L&M today.
L&M, so good to your taste.
So quick on the draw.
Get L&M today.
Talk about good taste. Well, friends, there's plenty of talk about good taste among the people who have changed to L&M cigarettes. That's because L&M is so good to your taste. And L&M is so quick on the draw. Just take an easy puff, and the flavor of a superior cigarette comes rich, comes clean, comes easy.
Make today your big red letter day. Change to L&M today.
L&M, so good to your taste.
So quick on the draw.
Get L&M today.
Yes, make today your big red letter day, and change to L&M.
Sitting right on the porch.
What's he doing way out here, Chester?
Well, sir, he told me he didn't like the Dodge House and he was going to board here at the Widow Clancy's.
Huh? Did he mention that he'd have a shotgun across his lap?
Well, now, what's he doing with that?
Oh, hello, Marshal. Chester. Come sit a spell.
Who's the gun for, Tupp? Wayne Rutman?
Can't never tell, Marshal. Man carrying as much money as I am. No, sir.
Rudman's kind of upset about that money, Tupp.
He is?
Mm-hmm. He wants it back.
Wants it back? I don't understand, Marshal. He gave me the note.
Yeah, I know. I saw it.
Well, is there something wrong with it?
No, Mr. Botkin says it's in his handwriting.
Well, then what's the fuss? Marshal, I don't want to do nothing illegal. You know that.
You, gave Rutman the deed to your ranch, didn't you?
Of course I did. Why else would he be giving me that note for the money?
Tupp, how did you ride 150 miles in one day?
Now, you ain't saying that's illegal, are you?
No, it's not illegal, Tupp. It's impossible.
Marshal, we ought to get this whole thing straightened out.
I think we better, Tupp.
Then you tell Wayne Rutman to be at the Long Branch tonight. We'll settle it there. I won't be accused of no wrongdoing, Marshal. No, no, not me.
Well, there he is, Rutman. The same table where you first made the deal.
You stand up on me, Marshal. You make him give me back my money.
Well, evening, gentlemen. Sit down.
Hello, Tupp.
I hear you got a complaint, Rutman. What's wrong?
I changed my mind. I don't want your ranch.
You don't want it?
Here's the deed. Now hand over the money.
Oh, but we made a deal. I gave you the deed, and you gave me the note for the money.
Well, I said I've changed my mind.
No, it's too late, Rutman. You've already bought the ranch. It's yours.
$15,000 for that place? Don't be a fool.
And I didn't make you pay it.
Rutman, don't you tell me something. Tup only asked $10,000. Now, why did you offer him $15,000?
Well, I...
Wait, I'll answer that, Marshal. He wanted to make sure I wouldn't sell it to nobody else. He had it all figured out. He rode out to my ranch with me, and we made a deal. I gave him the deed, and he gave me the note. Then he said he had to go on to Hayes City and wouldn't be riding back with me. But I know that he aimed to get back here as fast as he could and draw his money out of the bank before I could get here with his note. That way he'd have both his money and the ranch. He'd get the ranch for free.
This whole thing is ridiculous. I'm giving you back your deed, Tup. You can have the ranch. I want that money.
Wait a minute. I'll tell you what I'll do, Rutman. Now, the ranch is only worth $10,000. Everybody knows that. So I'll buy it back for $10,000.
What?
Yep. I've got the money right here. You want it?
No, I want the whole $15,000. I had to borrow $10,000 of it. I've got to return it within a week.
I can't help that, Rutman. The ranch ain't worth more than $10,000, and that's all I'll pay for it. Now, you can take it or leave it.
Marshal, are you going to sit there and let him cheat me out of $5,000?
Mr. Rutman, you don't have to sell the ranch
I've
back.
I've got
know.
To return that $10,000. There'll be trouble if I don't. Bad trouble.
Well, there it is. Right there on the table.
I'm going to go get me a gun.
Uh-uh. No, you don't, Rutman.
I'll find him when you're not around, Marshal.
Hey, Rutman, look over there at that bar. You see them five fellers?
What about them?
They're mighty good friends of mine, and they're staying right here in town as long as I do in case of any trouble.
Huh. Looks to me like you're licked, Mr. Rutman. Now, you either pick up the $10,000 or the deed, and you get out of here. Now.
You'll hear about this, Marshal. Cheating me.
I said get going, Rutman. Crooks.
Well, he took the money and left the deed, Marshal. I still got my ranch and $5,000 to boot.
Tup, who are those friends of yours at the bar there?
Oh, I'm giving a party tonight, Marshal. You're invited, too. All the drinks are on me.
Yeah, but why them?
Well, they're just fellas I know. They live 30, 40 miles apart, all the way up to my ranch.
Oh?
When I rode back here to see Rutman's money like he wanted me to, I left a horse at each one of them fellas' place.
So that's how you made the trip in one day, huh?
A day and a night, Marshal.
You had your own Pony Express.
Well, I kind of figured maybe I ought to get here before Rutman did.
You kind of figured right, Tup.
Now, Marshal, you know that I'm honest as daylight.
I always have been.
Of course, I do stretch the blanket a little when it's blanket stretching time.
I tell you what, Tup. Why don't we get that party going, huh?
And now our star, William Conrad.
Thank you, George. Take a tip from the L&M people, the people who have put the pleasure into filter cigarette smoking. Take the L&M miracle tip, the tip that lets all the flavor of a superior cigarette come rich, come clean, come easy. Once you light up an L&M, you'll understand why we say they're so good to your taste, so quick on the draw. It's the pure white miracle tip that adds so much to your enjoyment. So make today your big red letter day. Change to L&M.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Ray Kemper and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Ralph Moody, Harry Bartell, Joe Duval, and Kathy Marlowe. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. During the current year, Boys Clubs of America is celebrating its golden anniversary. Formed in 1906 from a nucleus of some 50 existing boys' clubs, the National Boy Guidance Organization today numbers 435 member clubs from coast to coast, serving more than 450,000 boys. This year, Boys Club Week will again be known as Operation Juvenile Decency, stressing the theme, Prevent Juvenile Delinquency by Building Juvenile Decency.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
Chesterfield, made by Exclusive Accuray, packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. Unlocks all the pleasure of fine tobaccos.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
Firm and pleasing to the lips, Chesterfield. Mild, yet they satisfy the most. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story of the Western Frontier when Matt Dillon, Chester Proudfoot, Doc, and Kitty, together with all the other hard-living citizens of Dodge, will be with you once more. It's America growing west in the 1870s. It's Gunsmoke.